This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Let's say you want to win an election. It's an important one, and it seems to you that you have two choices. You can appeal to as many people as possible, or make sure the voters who don't like you don't have a chance to cast their ballots. A new documentary alleges that Republicans picked the latter during the 2016 election. It lays out ways in which the vote has been suppressed around the country, and it draws heavily from the voter experience here in North Carolina. Mac Heller is a co-executive producer of Rigged, the Voter Suppression Playbook, and he joins me now. Mac, welcome.
Thank you, Frank.
What's the genesis of this film? How'd you get started?
I've followed voting my whole life. I feel great on Election Day. I'm proud that everywhere around the country, everybody's going to vote, and on Election Day, everybody's voice is equal. And when the Supreme Court gutted the primary provision of the Voting Rights Act in a case called Shelby County versus Holder in 2013, it struck me as unexpected because the Voting Rights Act, you know, had always been supported in the courts, had always been renewed in the Senate and the House, by in the Senate by a vote of, I think, 96-3 most recently. And so for the Supreme Court to cut it off at the knees was surprising. And I went and I read the decision, which essentially said that, hallelujah, the era of racial discrimination in voting is over. And that struck me as inaccurate, inauthentic, and dangerous. And sure enough, under the umbrella of that Supreme Court decision, states began to pass laws, the intent and effect of which were to make it more difficult and in some cases impossible for some American citizens to vote. I thought that was wrong, thought the story needed to be told, and that's how we ended up making this film.
And you start the film with the election of Barack Obama in 2008. Why did you start there?
Well, it's hard to say when this started. Did it start in 1787? Did it start in Reconstruction? When did it start? But the story that hadn't been told is that in the 2008 election, it was the first election in which voters of color constituted more than 25% of the eligible electorate. And people on the Republican side felt the difference. And there was a significant discussion, as you just mentioned, inside the Republican Party about what they saw as a fork in the road, where one fork would have been broadening the tent of the party to accommodate, to appeal to this broader demographic than had been appealed to in the party's more recent past. That's one fork. The other fork is to make it more difficult for people voting against Republicans to cast their vote.
Go ahead.
And that became evident in 2008. The demographic tide has continued since then and will continue into the future with more and more voters of color, young people registering and voting.
Now, it's quite a serious charge to say that the Republican Party chose that second route. They chose to deliberately suppress the vote in antagonism to all of our democratic principles. That's a very serious charge. Where's the evidence for that?
The charge that we make in the film is that some Republicans and some Republican legislatures formulated and passed these laws, and North Carolina is a terrific example. HB 589, frequently called the monster vote suppression law, was passed by the legislature, as you know, in 2013. This is a bill that was impossible before Shelby County versus Holder, but was reintroduced within hours of the Supreme Court decision. And as that bill was passed and then civil rights groups sued to stop it, the finding of the federal court was that that bill targeted African-American voters with almost surgical precision. That's a quote from the federal court, with an objective of making it more difficult to vote. So it's not me talking, it's the federal court. But when you look at these laws, similar law in Texas, you know, we dug in, and in North Carolina, there was a list of all the ways people vote. Do they vote early? Do they Do they vote absentee? Do they register close to election day or long before? The legislature, Frank, got data on which ethnic groups accessed which types of voting. And those types of voting, disproportionately used by people of color, that's what they cut. And it was eerily parallel to a similar experience in Texas, which passed a similar law at a similar time. That law was also struck down. But in the Texas legislature's denomination of which government IDs qualify for voting and which do not, again, the legislature received data, asked for and received data as to who holds which type of ID. And those IDs disproportionately held by people of color were more likely to be disallowed on the list, but IDs disproportionately held by white people, I'll use a concealed carry permit as an example, were allowed as qualifying for voting. So that's what people are seeing. That's what proliferated from a couple of states to over 20 states, and that's the trend that we're concerned about.
And as you say, the courts in North Carolina had that evidence, not only of the effect, but also the correspondence in which Republicans openly talked about wanting to suppress that vote, and that was used, and when the courts looked at that evidence, could find nothing but the fact that they used surgical precision to suppress the black vote. This is all part of it, but you filmed in six states for your documentary. What stood out when you were filming in North Carolina?
North Carolina had it all. What we filmed, you know, we filmed a number of stories in North Carolina, but ended up focusing on one in the film, which was a voter purge in Cumberland County, which is Fayetteville. And what is a voter purge? A voter purge is when a citizen group petitions the Board of Elections to remove some names from the voter rolls. Now, voter roll maintenance, typically executed by boards of elections, is a proper practice. People move away, people die, and it's important to keep the voter rolls up to date so that they're not full of names that no longer properly vote. But what this group did in Cumberland County was to gain the list of people who had not voted, people who had properly registered and then had not voted in two federal elections. And this group, which is just a couple of guys, proposed that the Board of Elections cut those names, which they did. Here's what nobody did. Nobody called them up to say, hey, are you still alive and do you still live in the county? So we sat in two hearings where a total of 3,500 names were cut, and I was shocked that this was going on because the process to actually determine whether the people had died or moved away was woefully inadequate. And I'll tell you what we did coming out of that hearing is, again, this is 3,564 people. I forget if it was in one hearing or two. Ultimately, it was 6,000 people that were cut, but I'm focused on the 3,500. We took that list, and in an afternoon of what I'll call modern work on the internet, came up with a first tranche list of 60 people who it didn't seem like they died, and it didn't seem like they moved away. And what did we do? We called them up, and we started to find people who said, what? I got cut from the voting rolls? I'm sitting here in my house. It's the same house where I registered. And one of those women, her name is Karen McCoy Wilson, is in the film. And I remember meeting her. She lives in just outside Fayetteville, and meeting her in the parking lot of her apartment building, and she was with a friend named Tawana, and saying, you've been purged. And she said, I can't believe it. And we drove to the Board of Elections because early voting was open, and Karen tried to vote, and sure enough, they said no, and she was nowhere to be found in the rolls. Of course, by that point, registration had been closed. You used to be able to register and vote right up to Election Day in North Carolina, but one effect of HB 589 was to stop that so that if you did get to the polls and there was some issue, you could no longer re-register. So Karen was unable to re-register. Fortunately, the NAACP, sued to reverse that practice in Cumberland County, won the suit. The federal judge in that case called the Cumberland County practice insane. Again, a direct quote. You don't often hear that from federal judges. And reversed it. Unfortunately for Karen, she had to work, she had one more chance to vote, which was Election Day. She couldn't get off work, and she was unable to vote. So this stuff works. It works. They do it because it works.
Well, and you know, what's fascinating about it is you wonder how a thing like this could get started. You say to yourself, well, the 6,000 people, there seems to be no process for checking. A documentary filmmaker gets on the phone in one afternoon, finds 60 of them just in a half a day's work. Where could a thing like this get started? Who would initiate this? And you talk to him, too. Here's a clip of Michael Hires, who brought thousands of cases of alleged voter fraud to the North Carolina Board of Elections. He just walked up there and said this.
I happened to stumble across the Phantom Voter Project. I started looking at my neighborhood and started finding what I believed to be a bunch of fraudulent registrations and started investigating them. It's about time we turned the lights on in the kitchen and started cleaning the cockroaches out of here.
There we are from the documentary Rigged, the Voter Suppression Playbook. My guest is Mac Heller, who is co-executive director of the film. Who's Michael Hires? Now, who is Michael Hires?
Mike is a retired military guy, lives in Fayetteville, and there's a line in the film where he says, I've got the time, I've got the skills, and I've got the inclination to make sure that every vote is legally cast. And so if you ask Mike, do you believe what you are doing is good for our elections, he will answer yes.
But does he have any place in the process? I don't get how a guy like this inserts himself. 6,000 people are gone. And
North Carolina has a law passed in 1901 during the Jim Crow era that allows any citizen to challenge the right to vote of any other citizen. And so the petition was on a residency claim that these people no longer lived in the district. And the way Mike established that was to send a letter to the voter who had not voted in two federal elections and mark the letter do not forward. So if you've moved within the county, even across the street, you will not get the letter. And so it is possible that many of these people had died or moved to Texas. But it is also possible, and we found them, that people either threw Mike's letter in the trash, or they had moved across the street, or in one case, the person was an IT worker and was on a job somewhere out of state for 3 months, but maintained her residence in Fayetteville. And once you write "do not forward" on the mail, it's not going to get forwarded, and is returned ultimately undeliverable. So it's a very shrewdly designed process to adduce evidence of the person not living there, when in fact they may live there. Similar process in Georgia, where a couple of young men were taking care of their sick mother in the next county, but the same thing happened. They were cut from the voter rolls there. And by the way, all these things were illegal in the world of preclearance before Shelby County versus Holder. It's only that Supreme Court decision that allowed these actions to take place on this unregulated kind of Wild West basis.
But even so, even after that, the courts have found that it was a racially motivated practice, the voter ID law, again, with surgical precision, to suppress the black vote. And the Reverend William Barber preached about that.
But, Frank, here's the difference. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And for a moment, I want to have a grown-up conversation about racism. You see, racism is not just about somebody calling you the N-word. Most modern-day racists are too smart for that anyhow. Racism is about policy. Racism is about the ability to take your prejudice and implement policy. So since 2008, we've seen an all-out effort by extremists in suits and ties who sit in political seats working to abridge and deny the right to vote.
It's a clip of the Reverend William Barber. It's a scene from the documentary Rigged, the Voter Suppression Playbook. My guest is Mac Heller, co-executive producer. And what were you going to say before that clip played?
I'm speaking to you today from Halifax Community College in Weldon. And Reverend Barber was here just a little bit ago. There was a congressional hearing on vote suppression. So when the Subcommittee on Elections of the House Committee on Administration wanted to convene a hearing on vote suppression, they've been in a couple places. 2 days ago, they were up in North Dakota hearing about this issue with Native Americans. But they convened here, and Congressman Butterfield is on that committee. And Reverend Barber was one of the witnesses who gave a very passionate and thoughtful discussion of vote suppression in North Carolina. And he's a very powerful speaker, a very, very strong character in the film. The film, by the way, you can learn more about it at our website, which is riggedthefilm.com. The film is available for streaming on Amazon and iTunes.
Mac Heller is the co-executive producer of Rigged, the Voter Suppression Rigged, the Voter Suppression Playbook. Mac, thanks so much for talking with us.
Okay, thank you, Frank.
You can find out more about the film and about our show at our website, stateofthings.org, and you can sign up for our newsletter and get a daily preview of our lineup. State of Things is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brooklyn. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.